over and over. This week's Parsha is Vayakel. And this Parsha is primarily about when B'nai Israel builds the Mishkan. You see, Moshe had learned from God as Moshe was receiving the Torah like this. That God had a desire to dwell amongst the people, Lishkon, for the Shekhinah to dwell with the nation as they wandered through the Midbar on their journey toward Eretz Yisrael. And so God commands Moshe to tell the people that they should build a Mishkan, a place for God to dwell. Now, as we know, Moshe receives all of this in the Torah, comes down the mountain, only to find B'nai Israel in the process of building something made out of gold, but it is not the Mishkan that God had been hoping for. It is the Egel HaZahav. And as we talked about in last week's Parsha, Moshe throws the tablets onto the ground, but eventually Moshe and God both forgive B'nai Israel. And so the time has come in this week's Parsha to actually build the holy tabernacle, the holy Mishkan, where God is going to live with the people. And the first thing that needs to happen is that B'nai Israel needs to gather together all of the materials that they're going to need. Because God's house can't just be a shack made out of normal materials. It has to be made out of the most precious metals, the most precious jewels, the most precious woods, the most precious linens, which B'nai Israel has access to mostly because of the loot that they gathered together as they were leaving Egypt. But there's a very interesting midrash that describes the process by which these materials were gathered together. And in order to tell this story, I actually have to introduce characters that I've never really introduced before, but who play a central role in the story of the Israelites. They are the Nisi'im, the princes of each tribe. Now, these Nisi'im are good people. By all accounts, they are righteous, they are well-meaning, they are believers in God. I don't want them to seem like they are bad guys. But when I think of Nisi'im and I think of princes, I give them kind of a snooty voice like this. Like they are so very important, for they are the princes. So I know it's going to sound like they're the bad guys, and even in this story they might sound misguided. Don't take it the wrong way. The Nisi'im were good people, good characters in the Torah. And so according to the Midrash, Moshe comes down and describes all of the things that B'nai Israel has to gather together. The gold, the silver, the bronze, the copper, the wood, the linens. And the Nisi'im hear this, and they all say to each other, according to the Midrash, Oh, well, we are going to be the ones, obviously, who collect all of these precious materials, because we, the princes, are the leaders, and we are so devoted to God, and we are so righteous and pious, that our materials are by far the most worthy for God to dwell in. You see, I bet among the 12 of us, we could gather together all of the things that you need, Moshe. No need to ask Amcha. No need to ask the citizens, the average person, the average Yunkala of B'nai Israel. No. The magnificent holy house of God should be built with materials from us, the Nisi'im. And Moshe says, gentlemen, with all due respect to the 12 of you wonderful, righteous people, that is not what God desires. God does not want the house to be made of precious gold made from donations by 12 righteous people. No, God wants God's house to be built up by materials collected by all of the people. Everybody whose heart compels them, as it says in the text, Kol Nediv Libo, everybody as their heart compels them. That's where the materials should come from. And the Nisim say, "Oh, of course, Moshe. How very wise of you, and that makes perfect sense that God would want a house made from materials collected by Amcha." But what we know privately, secretly, is that there's no way they're going to collect enough materials. Yes, for sure, they collected enough as they were leaving Egypt. But these people were just slaves. How will they part immediately with their gold and their silver and all of their valuables? They'll certainly want to keep it for themselves. They'll want to hoard it. And this is a people who has not shown that they are true believers in God. I mean, look at what they did. They built the Egel HaZahav, something that we Nisim had no part of. So, Moshe, it's a very nice idea for you to collect materials from all the people, and we Nesi'im will be happy to fill in what's ever left over, okay? Wink, wink. Maybe give a couple of opportunities to some of the people, and you'll get a couple of the things that you need. And then we will swoop in at the end and make sure that you actually have everything that you need. Well, wouldn't you know it, only 2 days after Moshe commanded the people to gather together all of these precious materials to build the Mishkan, and he had not only everything he needed, he had more than he needed. He said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Actually, we are good. Thank you, B'nai Israel. Thank you so much. We have enough gold for the Aron, for the menorah, for the rings, for the Mizbeach. We have enough wood for the poles and for the Shulchan. We have it all. Thank you all so much." And the Nisim look at each other and they say, "Wait a minute, Moshe, we didn't have a chance to give our donation." And Moshe says, "Well, you know, Nisim, you did have a chance. You just waited, hoping that you'd be the heroes to swoop in and put us over the top, but actually your waiting kept you from having the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah." And the Nisim said, "Oh, no, Moshe, we terribly underestimated B'nai Israel. We very much want to participate and help." And Moshe says, "Well, you know, there is actually something, Nisim. You see, we need to create special garments for the Kohen Gadol to wear. In fact, we need a Choshen Mishpat, a breastplate that's going to have very rare, precious stones. One stone representing each of the tribes. And that would actually be a very nice contribution by you, the Nisim, that each tribe actually contributes their precious stone, the one that will go in the Choshen Mishpat. And each Nasi, each prince, each leader of the tribe, should be the one to do the honors of contributing that." And so that's exactly what happens. And so not only do the people bring together all the precious materials, but people also begin to volunteer to help. They say, "We've brought so much, but this isn't good enough. I mean, we made an Egel HaZahav, for crying out loud. We have so much repair to do in our relationship with God. What else can we do, Moshe, other than just bringing together gifts?" And Moshe turns to Bezalel and says, "Bezalel, you're the one who's leading the project of actually building the Mishkan. How can you use these people's help?" And Bezalel says, "Well, you know, it would certainly go a lot faster if everybody helped. So if everybody were to, like, weave the wool together, because it's a very thick, special wool, and it needs to be woven in a very particular way, and we need some wood choppers, and we need some carpenters, and we need a lot of hands to make this project go better." And Moshe says, "Okay, Bezalel, that's great, but I'm not sure everyone is going to know what to do. And according to the Midrash, God endows all the people with the knowledge of how exactly God wants the Mishkan to be built. God gives them a special wisdom to know the particulars about how the Mishkan should be constructed. But there is one very interesting question that the Midrash also asks, which is, then why does it mostly say that it's Bezalel who built the Mishkan, not all of the people who helped him? And there was something special that Bezalel did that none of the other people did, according to the Midrash. Bezalel wouldn't just weave. Bezalel wouldn't just saw. Bezalel wouldn't just dye the materials. Bezalel did every action with full kavanah, with full intention, realizing that what he was doing was holy work. Most of the other people would kind of let their minds wander as they weaved. Most of the other people would let their minds wander as they cut. But every single hammer blow that Bezalel he did with his fullest heart and with his mind squarely on the task of building a home for God, which is one of the things that makes Bezalel such a special character. Now, sometimes this week's Parsha Vayakhel gets paired up with Parshat Pekudei, which comes afterwards, but not this year. And so there is still something very, very important that has to happen before Bnei Yisrael can totally complete the Mishkan and can get ready to begin their journey to Eretz Yisrael. And that is going to happen in next week's podcast, Parsha. Shabbat Shalom.
Over.